As announced, scripture reading is from chapter 1 of the Ephesian letter, verses 1 through 3. I'll be reading the King James Version, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Be here again this evening. Appreciate the presence of each and every one of you. Repentance is something that the Bible clearly teaches as being necessary for salvation. There is passage after passage that speaks of that. Of course, in Acts chapter 2 at verse 38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of or forgiveness of your sins." And usually we're talking about baptism when we look at that passage, because that is what most people deny in the religious world. But repentance is just as necessary. And it's tied together, as we often point out, with the conjunction "and," letting us know that both of those components there are equally important. And so repentance is required. And then in Acts chapter 3, what is the second sermon that was ever preached? Peter again was the preacher. And in Acts 3 at verse 19, he said, "Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out." And really that passage, as I've often pointed out, is identical to Acts 2:38. The turning back there is just a reference to baptism. And we know that because the same thing is accomplished in both passages. When you repent and you're baptized, your sins are forgiven. Here, when you repent and you turn back, your sins are blotted out. And so it is in baptism that you contact the blood, and so you turn back from corruption and from sin at that point. And then there's Acts chapter 17, and you remember the sermon that Paul preached to the Athenians on Mars Hill. In Acts, the 17th chapter and at verse 30, he said, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." And so you notice the scope of that, that God commands all people, not some people, not most people, not the majority of people, but all people he has commanded, people everywhere to repent. And so clearly repentance is something that is needed and necessary to be saved. And then of course we also realize from scripture that repentance is needed not only for one to become a child of God, but necessary to be restored if you are a child of God and then you go off into sin. In Acts chapter 8 we have what we often refer to as God's second law of pardon, and it has to do with Simon the former sorcerer. In Acts chapter 8 and at verse 18, it says, "Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, 'Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands receive the Holy Spirit.' And so Simon was overtaken by a thirst for power and popularity, and so he tried to purchase this. He wanted to be someone special than the body of Christ, like he used to be before he had obeyed the gospel of Christ. He wanted people to think highly of him, and so his heart wasn't right. So at verse 20, Peter said to him, 'May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God.' Then verse 22, he tells him, repent therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. And so, again, repentance is needed and necessary. Repentance is just to have a change of heart, a change of mind. And it comes about when individuals begin to regret the sin that they have committed or sins that they have committed. They are filled with what Paul refers to in 2 Corinthians 7 as godly sorrow. And so they begin to regret. Well, as we think about that tonight, we realize that we all regret certain things, don't we? We repent of certain things, not from a spiritual standpoint, not in order to have sins forgiven or anything like that. It's just as we go through life, we do certain things that we regret. We say certain things that we regret from time to time. We all have regrets in life. But just for a few minutes tonight, I want to suggest to you that there are some things that we should never regret. There are some things from that standpoint we should never be repentant of. And I want to mention just a few of those things in a very simple lesson for just a few minutes tonight. Three things that we should never regret. Number one, you should never regret that you have obeyed the gospel. Now, I recognize that when one obeys the gospel, of course, those of us who are Christians, we've all experienced this. You obey the gospel and you immediately become a servant of Jesus Christ. So you have a new master. And you recognize that as a part of that, you no longer simply belong to yourself, but now you belong to another. We've been purchased by the blood of Christ, Acts 20 and at verse 28. And so now, again, we belong to Jesus. And what that means from a practical standpoint is we can't just do anything we want to do. We can't live any way we want to live. Now we have to answer to someone else. Now there's commandments that we have to keep, and there are instructions we have to follow because we are servants of the Most High God. We're servants of Jesus. We're servants, as Paul says in Romans 6, of righteousness. And sometimes people grow tired of that. People in Christ begin to grow weary of having restrictions upon them. And that's when many individuals will leave the church or become unfaithful. They begin to think, I'm tired of all these rules and regulations that I have to follow. I'm tired of the restrictions upon my life. And so I want to go back and live the way I used to live. And they begin to regret that they obeyed the gospel in the first place. I want to suggest to you tonight that you should never regret obeying the gospel. In fact, when you obeyed the gospel, that was the greatest decision that you had ever made up to that point. It is the greatest decision you can make. When you obeyed the gospel, you entered into the body of Christ. And as we read or had read for us by Sam in Ephesians chapter 1, we have all of these wonderful blessings that Paul begins to enumerate in that text. And notice in Ephesians chapter 1 once again. We'll just pick up at verse 3 there. Ephesians 1 and at verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places." Like, you could just stop right there and realize you should never regret obeying the gospel, because once you did, you entered into Christ, and immediately you began to have access to every or all spiritual blessings. And again, Paul, a lot of times, we'll just stop right there without really looking at any detail at the context. And we obviously don't have time to study in detail even tonight. But you notice some of the things that follow that. We have all spiritual blessing, every spiritual blessing in Christ. At verse 4, he says, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." And so when you obey the gospel, you immediately became a part of the chosen, of all of the people on the face of the earth. You're a part of God's chosen people. You have become a part of God's elect. How could you ever regret that? You should never repent of that. You should be happy that you have become a part of God's chosen people. He goes on to say that we should be holy and blameless before him. And what that points to is the fact that we stand before God as if we haven't sinned. And really, Paul, when he makes that statement, and he does a couple of times in his writings, and he's basically referring to the time when Christ comes back and we will appear before God blameless and as if, again, we haven't sinned. But really, we stand before God like that right now. And not because we're perfect, not because we haven't ever sinned, but because our sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ. And so we are indeed right in the sight of God as long as there's no unrepented sin in our life. But that can only be said of the few who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. If you have obeyed the gospel, that of course is you. You stand before God blameless. You stand before God as if you haven't sinned, holy in His sight. And then he talks about being predestined. He has predestined us for what? For adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His own will. And so you've obeyed the gospel. You've become a child of God. You're an adopted child, and you ought to appreciate that. It was John who said that the fact that we are sons of God, children of God, demonstrate how much God loves us because He adopted us according to His own will, His own purpose. Well, he goes on to say that He has blessed us in the Beloved. That's a wonderful thing. At verse 7, he says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. All of those things we have in Christ. Redemption, a wonderful word. We've been bought back by Jesus Christ. And so we have been forgiven because His blood has washed away our sins and we have access to the riches of His grace. Why, pray tell, would you ever regret any of that? Yes, there are going to be some restrictions upon you because you have obeyed the gospel of Christ. But think of all the positive that's involved in now being a Christian because you have obeyed the gospel. Don't ever regret that. When you start regretting obeying the gospel, you're taking that first step away from Christ and going back to the world. You certainly shouldn't do that. And I'll tell you, number two, something else we shouldn't regret. We should never regret being a member of the Church of Christ. We talked a little bit about the church this morning. But I understand that when you become a member of the Church of Christ, you become a part of a minority. And so you recognize that there's going to be people that oppose you. And sometimes it's going to be people that you're very close to. It might be those that you work with. It might be those that you go to school with. It might be family members that don't agree with your stance for the truth, who don't believe in the Church of Christ or think the Church of Christ is wrong. And they may oppose you, and they may not want a whole lot to do with you because you are now a part of this minority. But you should never regret being a member of the Church of Christ because, as we talked about this morning, the church is the New Testament church, that is, the Church of Christ is the New Testament church. It's the church you read about in the Word of God. And so this is the church that Jesus is going to come back to receive one of these days. We quoted this morning, 1 Corinthians 15, and at verse 24, then comes the end where He shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father. And one of these days, that's going to happen. I've often pointed out that you are either in the kingdom or you're not. The fact of the matter is, Jesus is only coming back to get His kingdom. And there's only two places you can spend eternity. He's coming to get the kingdom and deliver it to the Father. That means those in the kingdom are going to be in heaven. What happens if you're not in that kingdom? Well, again, there's only one other option. You'll be sent to the left on the day of judgment and be cast into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I tell you right now that those who are not members of the Church of Christ, they may not regret that right now, but one of these days they will regret that. But you should never regret being a part of that kingdom. You should never be ashamed of being a part of that kingdom, even though we don't look like and we don't do the work like everyone else is doing. The sad thing is God's people have always given in to this temptation to want to be like everyone else. We have to fight against that. You remember the Jews in the Old Testament. They wanted a king. Why? So they could be like the nations around them. And there's too many in the body of Christ today that as time goes on, they begin to feel uncomfortable that they're not like all their friends and family members in denominational churches. And we can't do all the things that they're doing. They begin to wish that they could get involved in the fun and the frolic and the recreation and the entertainment and all of the different things for which there's no authority. Why can't we do that in churches of Christ? I want to be a part of that. And so they leave the church. They begin to regret being a member of the church of Christ. But remember, you can leave the truth. You can leave the church and you can go to a place where you can do more of the things you want to do. And maybe there'll be more recreation and entertainment and those kind of things, those physical things, those things that give you delight from a physical standpoint. Still, when Jesus comes back, he's coming back to get the kingdom. He's coming back to get the church of Christ, the church that belongs to him. And you will regret not being a faithful member of that kingdom. If you ever leave the church, don't regret. No matter what people say, and you might be persecuted. Paul said everyone who lives godly in this present world will face persecution. In another place, Paul reminded us that it's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. There's no doubt about that. You may receive some of that. In our free country that we live in today, it may not be physical abuse, but you might be called names. You might be called narrow-minded. But don't ever regret being a member of the church of Christ. It's the Lord's church. It's his body. And he's coming to get it one of these days. And then a third thing, very quickly, and the lesson will be yours, and that is you should never regret living a morally upright life. And again, sometimes people start to feel restricted as they serve God. The world around us, they do whatever they want to do. They engage in the various pleasures of life. And sometimes one might begin to feel a little hemmed in the church as one who's obeyed the gospel. There is a moral standard that we have to live by as Christians, as followers of the Word of God. There's no question about that. There's restrictions placed upon us. We should recognize that they are restrictions that are for our betterment. But as human beings, we don't always like to be restricted. We want to do what it is we want to do. We want to live the way we want to live. And we don't like others telling us what to do. Sometimes not even God. And so we begin to regret that we are in the church and that we have obeyed the gospel. And now there's all these restrictions, things we can't do. But I tell you this, there's a lot of people in the world who do their own thing, who live their own way. They live immoral lives, and many, many people would tell you if they had the chance that they regret the kind of life that they have lived. You think about the alcoholic whose body is a wreck. He certainly regrets the decisions that he has made. You think about the one who is addicted to gambling and has ruined his life. You think about the one who now is dying of lung cancer because of all of those cigarettes that he or she has smoking. You think about so many people whose lives are an absolute mess because of the moral decisions that they have made. And it may look like sometimes on the outside, it may look like the world's having all kind of fun. And I suspect they are in the immediate. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes it doesn't turn out the way they want it to, even physically. And they begin to regret it. But the fact of the matter is, we shouldn't regret the other side of it. As Christians, trying to live a morally upright life, living by the Word of God, keeping ourselves free from all the stains of this world. And when we do that, we can escape a lot of the grief that sin causes. I remember Paul in Romans chapter 6. Turn over there just for a minute. In Romans chapter 6, Paul began to remind the saints at Rome of all of this. Romans, the 6th chapter. At verse 20, he says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness." Now, people like that. And sometimes, again, that's what some, even members of the church, they begin to feel restricted. And, you know, I can live any way I want to live. But Paul says, now, when you were like that, when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But, he asked, what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? And many times, that's where sin leads. To being in a mess physically. Sometimes it leads to even outward shame. And people even look back on their lives and they're ashamed because of the decisions that they have made and the immorality that they've been involved in. But when you begin to look at the other side of that, he says, "For the end of those things is death, but now that you have been set free from sin, and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." Notice the contrast at verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death." There might be fun. You might have a real good time. There might be pleasure that you can enjoy in the here and now. But he says it always ends up in death, spiritual death. "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a contrast. You may not be able to have the pleasures of this world in the here and now, but aren't the pleasures of heaven going to be so much better? You can choose life or death. It's up to you. If you have obeyed the gospel and you have entered into the church, been added to the church of Christ, then you have chosen life. Now you have to walk in the light. Now you have to make sure that you're faithful unto death. Never regret the spiritual decisions that you have made. Just continue to serve God. And the end, the fruit, will be what you really, really want. Eternal life in heaven. There are some things that we shouldn't regret as Christians. I know, again, we are a peculiar people. I know we are different than a lot of people in the world. We live by a different standard. We do have restrictions that are placed upon us because we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to another. We have a new master, Jesus Christ. But never regret it. Rejoice in it. Rejoice that you have obeyed the gospel. You know one thing that I didn't mention, and if you're visiting with us tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you surely should think about this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul tells us that those who know not God and obey not the gospel shall be punished with an everlasting destruction away from the presence of of God. And so we understand that you will, if you don't obey the gospel, you'll regret that. Maybe not in the here and now, but one of these days. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Have you obeyed the gospel? You can escape that punishment. Just by obeying the gospel, yes, it'll make you a part of a peculiar people, but it will be an elect people. Yes, there will be restrictions, things you can't do in the here and now, but you'll have glory after a while. It's worth it, and you should never regret it if you have done that. I pray and trust that if you're subject to the invitation of Christ, that you'll put on Christ in the waters of baptism, repent, and be baptized, and your sins will be forgiven. Why not do that tonight? Do it right now as we're together, stand and sing.